Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The governor of Texas apologizing and promising answers after a deadly winter storm. The deep freeze, just the start of an ongoing nightmare for residents, now struggling with shattered pipes and skyrocketing energy bills. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
I can't imagine what it's like for you to see it like this.
It's terrible. I've never seen a house like this.
Brianna Bolden tells me she could smell the soaked, rotting wood from outside the front door of her grandmother's house before walking into this. These pictures and the memories they captured all underwater.
And this is actually my big mama right here. This is the old picture, and that's the pastor's wife.
For half a century, her grandparents filled this home with children and grandchildren, home-cooked meals, tiny reminders of a family growing together.
I have a lot of memories at this house.
But now this house, like so many in Texas, has been gutted, helplessly flooded by burst pipes in last week's historic winter storm.
Oh my God.
The water, it was up on your couches, look.
The damage is just a fraction of the devastation in Texas that killed 32 people and will take months or years and billions of dollars to clean up. So how did it all go so wrong so quickly?
Texas has more than enough generating capacity to handle itself. It was just the state of affairs of that equipment and the state of affairs of the management of that equipment that caused this problem.
Texas is the only state in the continental U.S. with an independent energy grid, meaning it does not connect to any other state's power source. So when that merciless winter weather hit in one of the warmest regions of the country, people cranked up their heaters and the energy demand surged. When that system shut down, there was nowhere to turn for power.
There was no place for the Texas grid to go. There are a couple of small lines, extension cords to the east and the west, but that's not enough really to take up a 40% drop in Texas generation.
The result was more than 3 million Texas residents in the dark and cold at one point, leading many to take drastic measures.
We're running dangerously low on water. So now what we've been doing all day is actually coming outside, getting snow, putting it in our pots, and heating it on our propane grill.
Then pipes began to freeze and burst, shutting down water treatment plants across the state, meaning almost 15 million Texans would have to boil their water before it was safe to drink.
How can we boil water? We don't even have power.
The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, had long been warned its infrastructure was vulnerable to freezing temperatures. The state legislature held hearings on this exact issue in 2011, the last time the state experienced a major freeze.
There were numerous hearings, you know, hundreds of pages of recommendations, but they were all made voluntarily. Nobody actually changed the incentives so that the generators would have a financial reason to weatherize.
This week, several ERCOT board members resigned in the wake of this disaster. Today, in a virtual ERCOT board of directors meeting, the chairwoman acknowledged the pain and suffering of Texans. Her resignation, effective after the meeting ended.
All of our hearts go out to all of you who have had to go without electricity, heat, water, medicine, and food during frigid temperatures and continue to face the tragic consequences, in some cases, the loss of a loved one.
State leaders had promised an investigation into ERCOT's handling of the crisis, and members of both parties and the governor are vowing to make sure Texans aren't on the hook for those astronomical electric bills.
At a time when essential services were needed the most, the system broke. You deserve answers. You will get those answers.
But people like Brianna Bolden are in need of far more immediate solutions. She is facing mounting hardships, having recently lost her father and grandfather.
I mean, it sounds like your grandmother doesn't have home insurance right now.
She don't. She couldn't afford it anymore. Every generation been through this house. My papa really worked hard for this house. I'm sorry.
And statewide, there is so much damage from burst pipes, plumbers can't keep up.
You can see the water. We have another one right here.
Everardo Almeida of Almeida Plumbing in Houston says his crews have been working around the clock.
It's just all bad. I mean, if you have a water leak, it's bad.
And they're receiving more calls than they can answer.
It's heartbreaking to tell somebody you can't make it.
We drove down here 25 hours.
Plumber Andrew Mitchell and his family driving all the way from New Jersey with a car full of equipment and parts in short supply here.
We're just gonna see what we can do to help out the Texas residents.
And also converging in Texas to help out the Cajun Navy. Civilian volunteers known for using their big trucks and small boats for rescues during major storms like Hurricane Harvey in 2017.
We talked with a lot of people around here who've been they were impacted by Hurricane Harvey first. Now they're dealing with this, and a lot of people said they think that this is worse.
When a hurricane's coming in, we know what's going to happen. With this disaster, we did not know what was coming. The community was not prepared. No one knew what was coming.
Right.
Period.
This is Marissa McKim. She spent the last decade doing aid work in Africa, but when disaster struck at home, she was one of the first on the front lines. The Cajun Navy has gotten quite good, quickly setting up distribution sites like this one. But with so many people impacted, what's perhaps most useful is their platform and their connections.
Cajun Navy crowdsources disasters, and Cajun Navy is known. So once we find the need, we start using the social media platform, and we put the word out there, and people want to help.
On this day, they're delivering to Katy, Texas, home to just over 20,000, with some areas still under a boil water notice.
Did you guys reach out to the Cajun Navy?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Daisy Crespo runs the local Christian ministry here in Katy. Her group is helping several hundred families, many of whom still haven't even recovered from Hurricane Harvey.
It's just like a disaster on top of a disaster. When we have families that are struggling financially and trying to find a way how they can become resilient, and they experience something like this, it's like another setback.
You still seem like a hopeful person.
We have
how?
To. We have
you don't have another choice?
We have to. We have to have hope.
Hi, how many people in the car?
And that determination to stand together in the face of this challenge or any that follow is lifting up communities across Texas. The distribution lines packed with volunteers handing out water they needed themselves. The unopened restaurants giving away meals in the parking lot.
We still haven't started on the garage because we literally still been in the living room.
And even Brianna Bolden, who was willing to rebuild her grandmother's house herself, has learned she's not alone.
And all of a sudden, I'm getting phone calls from people I don't even know. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot because I honestly didn't think that, like, people were like paying attention.
Seems like for all that you and your family have been through, nightmare after nightmare, you're not going to let this or anything else break you apart. Is that fair?
I don't care what it is. Nothing is gonna break our family apart. That's how we are.
Yeah.
That's how my papa raised us to be, a strong, solid family that look out for each other.
Our thanks to Trevor. Coming up, the new movement, coping with the pandemic without reaching for a drink.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Millions of Americans forced to rethink how they recharge under challenging times. Now the growing movement, inspiring followers to put down their drinks and practice sobriety. Here's ABC's Deborah Roberts.
So it's New Year's Eve tonight, and tomorrow is the start of my 30-day alcohol-free challenge. I'm nervous, but I'm excited to get started.
Kate Dwyer, a 34-year-old Kansas City mom, is toasting the new year with a video diary and a novel plan. No alcohol included.
I just finished working out, which I normally do every day, but it's been a lot easier now that I have been sober for 16 days.
Her decision to stop drinking motivated by stressors of the pandemic.
I couldn't deal with the hangovers anymore and just having that lack of patience with my kids. So I just really needed to make a change.
Kate is joining a growing number of people who are rethinking their drinking habits during the pandemic, confronting a daunting decision, cutting back on alcohol. As we head into the second year, sales of alcoholic beverages are surging across the country. Reports showing 4 in 10 adults now suffering from anxiety or depressive disorder, a 30% jump from 2019.
One of the main factors that kind of helped me to make this decision was I realized how much I was numbing myself out to spending the time here in my house actually with my kids. We were all together, but I wasn't really present.
Kate has tried month-long periods without alcohol in the past, but this time she had help signing up for Annie Grace's 30-day alcohol-free experiment.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like alcohol to be small and irrelevant in your life?
Annie Grace is author of the books This Naked Mind and The Alcohol Experiment.
I'm treating myself better than that now.
What started as word of mouth has morphed into a major following. Originally only self-published, her books have sold over 627,000 copies. She says she receives an astounding 8,500 emails a month from readers. A mom of three and a former global corporate executive, she once relied on alcohol to get her through the day and based her books on her own struggles.
How much were you consuming?
I stopped buying bottles because I was upset with myself when I'd get all the way through one bottle and have to open the second. So I started buying boxed wine.
Were you thinking, I'm overboard, I'm drinking too much, I have a drinking problem?
Outwardly, I really did look like I had everything together. You know, I had the house and the two kids and the job and career, all the things. But inwardly, I would wake up at 3 a.m. just with this pit that would drop into my stomach. And I'd sit there and beat myself up. Sometimes I'd cry.
After fighting herself for years, she tried to get to the root of her dependency to alcohol.
I started my journey by making a list of every single reason I drank and started to just methodically go through and do the research to say, is this true? Does it actually help me feel better? Does it relieve my stress? Does it loosen me up in the bedroom? Does it make life more fun? And over, I would read these studies and be like, wow, this actually chemically isn't true about alcohol. I was convinced that alcohol was the duct tape that was holding my whole life together.
Alcohol is a brain depressant. So it becomes a seesaw between alcohol making our stress levels higher, and then higher stress levels making us desire more alcohol.
Annie's strategy includes three main pillars: rethinking the benefits of alcohol, eliminating the desire for it so there's no temptation, so that in turn, without temptation, there's no addiction.
You describe your book as sort of like reprogramming sort of some unconscious part of your mind.
So when I tried to stop drinking, I just had this nagging feeling that I was missing out or that I wasn't going to be as relaxed. And so my goal was really changing that belief through education, through saying, okay, well, what does alcohol really do? And once I was educated, that belief was able to be let go of.
To reach others who, like herself, didn't connect with programs like AA, she conceived a non-committal, sober-curious approach.
When I just say, hey, I just don't want to drink anymore, that makes me feel good and empowered and like I'm making kind of a, you know, badass decision and really excited about life. And then I behave differently. I just don't pick up the drink, which was causing so much trauma in my life.
Now, some critics will not appreciate your saying that AA is not necessarily the way to go. What do you say to them?
I think AA is amazing. I think it disguises us from just being educated, mindful consumers of alcohol because we think and we feel protected by this idea that if I'm not an alcoholic, then it can't be a problem for me.
I was completely delusional about the effects that my drinking habits were having on my life, on the lives of people around me. I didn't see it. I hadn't hit what they would call rock bottom yet.
36-year-old Wyatt Page Hermison is an assistant English professor in Massachusetts.
It's pretty out today. It is. It's nice.
Wyatt's days are now about staying sober and enjoying a supportive relationship.
It's perfect.
I didn't really discover the power of drinking to kind of dull my emotional pain until I was in graduate school. It was just such a part of everything that I didn't really notice that I had a problem with it until it was a pretty serious problem.
Of the 20.3 million Americans with substance use disorders, 37.9% also have mental illness. Wyatt's one of them.
I also struggle with bipolar disorder. I was actively making it worse. Every time I drank it, it intensified it. It ratcheted up the emotions, made everything harder to deal with.
Drinking becoming a vicious cycle.
I think I was simultaneously lessening the effect of my medication and then using the alcohol to treat the fact that the medicine wasn't doing its job.
It's precisely people like Wyatt with a mental but not physical dependency that is Annie Grace's target audience.
It wasn't until I listened to, you know, Annie Grace's audiobook that it even occurred to me that it was possible to change my behavior, that that was something that I could do without going to Alcoholics Anonymous or without going to rehab or something like that.
For both Kate and Wyatt, a big concern of living alcohol-free has come with navigating being around friends in a new way.
It's very scary for me. I feel like it's such an easy way to connect with someone.
If you're the sober friend at the bar, if you're the person not drinking, you're like kind of a stick in the mud. I really worried about my friends not thinking I was fun anymore. I really agonized over that.
Social life is hands down one of the biggest concerns people have about taking a break. But when you get into the moment with the right attitude and you're happy about it, your friends are actually happy for you.
All of my friends have responded really supportively. So it kind of was the reverse of everything that I had been worried about.
My partner pointed out, you are infinitely more fun when you're not drinking.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies.
She saw the potential of this life of peace and clarity before me.
Though they're both at different stages in their journeys, Wyatt and Kate are optimistic that drinking will no longer hold a big place in their lives.
So today is 541 days, which is awesome. That's a year, 5 months, and 22 days.
Right now, I am 62 days sober, and I feel younger, more alive than I've felt in a long time. I'm going to continue being alcohol-free and just keep making that choice for myself each day, hopefully.
And finally tonight, the taming of the sheep. Yes, there is a sheep under there. Rescuers in southeastern Australia finding the animal in a forest near Melbourne. Barrock, the sheep, as it's now known, given a much-needed haircut after years in the wild. Get this, more than 78 pounds of wool shorn off. Now showing off that beautiful transformation. Looking sharp. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.